Hi, this is Jack Humphrey with Going County. I'm here with Phil Quinn, City Council Member at Large. Phil, thanks so much for taking out the time.
Jack, I appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
Was this your first term?
Yep, we're just wrapping up the first term. It's been an interesting 3 years. I don't know if it's any more controversial or loaded with agenda items than maybe past terms, but it's been a busy 3 years so far.
That's a very politically correct way of saying it.
Sure.
What motivated you to run for office again?
Well, I think the first time, I think there were a couple of people that I would consider to be community leaders that were listening to a radio show that I did on Saturday mornings and said, you know, you have a lot of ideas, you have some strong opinions, you ask a lot of questions. These are the type of people we need on council. And so I said, well, if you guys think I would be a good candidate, then I'll run and ran and was elected. And I think that those same similarities is why I want to stay on for another term. I will be honest with you and your listeners. I do not want to be a 25-year term council member. I don't think that having an open-ended career in politics like that is a good thing in any one position. So this would be, if elected, this would be my last term serving on council. I think that I ask a lot of questions and really want to get to some answers, and I don't like terms that I hear or did hear before I got on and still hear every now and again, well, this is the way we've always done it. So what motivates me to run for a second term is to continue to sort of push the envelope a bit, and hopefully I'm able to do that if I'm fortunate enough to be elected.
Well, what experience in this last term have you picked up that's going to make you a better or more effective council member?
I don't know if it. I've learned a lot. I think one of the areas that I'm very passionate about is Richmond Power and Light, and I think most of your listeners are probably keenly aware that Richmond Power and Light, when you elect your council member, they automatically serve on the utility board, and I've gotten to learn about what RP&L does and how their business functions and how it's a great thing for the ratepayers of Richmond and the citizens and how they contribute to the community, plus with this new energy from waste project that we're going into. I wish there was more conversation about Richmond Power and Light and this project as part of the election process, because it is going to be very important as we move forward into the fall to get that done. So learning about Richmond Power and Light has been one of the things that I think has prepared me for another term. I also think I've learned the skill set of if I'm going to disagree with another council member, leave it in the room. Don't take it out of the room. Don't be disparaging against anybody else's character. And while I do question and make some strong statements in the media, I do want what's best for the community, and it's a little less about what letters after my name. So I like to take that approach, as I'm sort of a wild card to some of the other members of council, because I will sort of cross, political platforms on different issues. And I think that's a positive skill set, but, you know, that I'll leave that up to the voters to decide that.
I've actually, been following you on Facebook and been kind of surprised at some of your positions on different things.
Sure.
You know, you're supposed to toe the party line. That's the way things work these days, right?
It's supposed to, you're supposed to toe the line and get the talking points memo and sort of that. And there's a lot of people that frustrate me, especially when you get out on the fringes. I really like the entertainment factor of MSNBC and Fox News, but what I tend to do is I tend to put them in a category of you're trying to entertain an audience, grab a certain audience member or participant. I want to take the sources that they use and then go and form my own opinion, and that happens a lot when I look at local politics, which is really to its benefit a good thing that we don't get so far into the political realm. Yeah, it does get serious to certain occasions, but I have no problem with using the same tone in criticizing leadership on the Republican Party locally or state as I would the Democratic Party, because I think I like being a fiscal conservative, but I don't know why the environment gets pushed to one political platform. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're a conservative, you should be a conservative for the environment too. So I serve on Cope Environmental Center's board as their vice chair, and one of the few Republicans that do that, because mm-hmm. I don't know why Republicans don't think that that's an issue to be passionate about, and I think that that's changing somewhat. But I'm just not a very strong social morale conservative. I don't care what people do behind the doors of their own house. I want to sort of fix sort of the fiscal situation of local government and stick to that, as opposed to, you know, what happens and what types of stores get built in the city limits. And we've had some of those issues come up before. But yeah, I do use Facebook a lot to take a stand on something, because it's important for me to get some feedback, maybe change my opinion. And not to belabor the point, but I think one of the real attributes of a good politician these days is going up to the microphone after being passionate about an issue, going up and say, you know what, I was wrong. That mm-hmm. I took the wrong position on that, and admit mistakes. I think people are willing to forgive you for making a mistake if you do make one. Time, hindsight's always 20/20, and you may look back and go, you know what, I was sort of a goof about that issue. So I think that those are sort of the things that that are important to me.
What are the main things you'd like to accomplish in another term?
The things that I want to tackle, by that point, we will have approved of the budgets for the next operating year at the city. And I really think that there is still more consolidation that we can do between city and county governments. And people will look into that and say, oh, you're looking at cutting employees and cutting government. And to a certain degree, yes, I think that that's true. I think before we look at ways of increasing revenue, I think that we still have to have done and go back to the taxpayers and say, we have done everything that we think we can do to get the best bang for the taxpayer dollar. So I think number one issue after November 2nd is, all right, did we do that? And if we didn't, how are we going to fix that in the future? One of the keys, I serve on the finance committee for the city, and one of the things that we've talked about has been what's quote-unquote the spousal carve-out. And what that means is most all large employers in the United States have had to sacrifice spouses being covered on health insurance if that spouse is employed and has coverage through their own employer. And every large entity in Richmond has done that, with the exception of city government. And I think that that is sort of one of those no-brainers that says you can't get a benefit that, as a public employee, that is no longer being a benefit to the private sector, and that you have to sort of follow those trends. That's not to say that you don't care about the spouse employees, and if that spouse of an employee doesn't have a job or the benefits at that employer are so outrageous that it doesn't make sense, but we need to sort of trim back that liability because the city is self-insured. Mm-hmm. So that would be sort of the second issue. And I think the third is we really have to, at this point, November 2nd, we'll really be in the processes of putting together what looks to be a $150 million construction project that's not funded with taxpayer dollars for Richmond Power and Light, with this energy-to-waste project. That is huge, Jack. I mean, when you talk about a construction project that is comparable to Reed Hospital, mm-hmm. that's big.
Yeah.
The other things that I think linger are going to be things like the wheel tax. I think that still is in play.
In general, how do you feel about the city's prospects for job growth? Maybe start with the waste-to-energy Is that going to be a significant source of jobs, new jobs?
Well, actually, what's going to happen with that project is we're going to stop using coal, stop having to buy coal, but those employees at Richmond Power & Light, instead of laying them off, they will sort of be hired by this third venture. What's important about this project is this is going to go immediately on the tax rolls. So where Richmond Power & Light pays $2 million in payment in lieu of taxes, essentially what our property tax bill would be, this will add to that payment. And so it sort of keeps jobs here. And I think that's key is we have not, city government has not been as pro-business as I think they could be. They do a good job, especially when it comes to helping the EDC land large manufacturing of plants or sort of logistics plants. I still think that the backbone of a successful small community like Richmond is going to be based in the retail market, and we have to do a better job at supporting retail development. I know a lot of people are still have a very bitter taste about how Hayes Arboretum came to play, but if you were to look at Menards and Kohl's and now Best Buy and Starbucks and Chipotle and Walgreens and those places, when they are looking at the number of jobs hired, I think the pros of that sort of outweigh the green space that is there in that 32 acres. And I think we have to be more proactive in that way in helping the small businesses. Anything that we can do, once we get, you know, the other thing about November is we're going to have just about all of our road construction projects done. That,
thank
I think,
God.
Helps. Yeah, exactly. I think that helps small businesses. So maybe the one or two hires that we can do there may speak to a more vibrant community than landing sort of that big whale of a manufacturer. So it's interesting. If you go back 20 years ago at the biggest facilities that were paying the most in property tax, which is obviously a very important figure for us, that has been replaced with big box stores in the last 10 to 15 years. So it's interesting to see that it is about logistics and it's about our location and some of those things more so than it is about manufacturing. But I tell people very often in circles, our largest sector of employed people is not healthcare, which you might think with the largest employer being Reed, but it still is in manufacturing. It's places like Ahaus Tool and Hill's Pet Food and, of course, Belden. So we still have a strong manufacturing hub. We just sort of keep missing that big fish that is out there. And sometimes we have to look a little bit more within.
What about the donut hole effect? You know, as the Walmarts, and this happens everywhere in the country, every you know, we just seem to expand outward. And there's some really, really good business owners, hardworking people in the core of our city, you know, in the Depot District and Main Street. And, you know, as we go out, as we grow outward, it just seems like it's just very, very sad to drive through the promenade area sometimes.
Agreed.
And nobody even knows what the promenade is if they weren't born when we were.
Yep, right.
But, you know, do you have any ideas on that? Or does that come up in council meetings? Like, how do we get people to focus on our core?
Well, let me give you sort of my really opinionated thoughts on that, because they're definitely not shared with other members of council, maybe even other leadership within county government. I believe that Main Street, whatever we're going to call it this week, is it uptown, is it Main Street, is it downtown? I tend to think that if you tell someone, come to downtown, you sort of encompass the Depot, Old Richmond, and sort of that Main Street. What I believe happened is a real lack of marketing. If you look at the amount of traffic coming in off the interstate on the east side of town, which is so attractive to commercial real estate, they don't go past Elks Country Club Road very often.
Right.
So why don't we have an ongoing aggressive campaign to do two things? One, make those interstate interchange gateways look pretty. What do we need to do? What kind of money do we need to spend in order to make it look like you're missing something if you don't pull off?
Mm-hmm.
Then to incorporate, and I don't care if they're government-owned, private-owned, sublet, you pick it. Give me some signage on the interstate that says you're going to miss this if you don't stop here. And then once you get to Elks Country Club Road, why are we not highlighting sort of the anchors in downtown? Yeah, you're right. The big box stores can crush the little guy, but we don't highlight a Veach's or a Secret Ingredient or Good Life Emporium or even some of our local hot spots, East Street Pub. I mean, there are places in Sheba's and Zini's, there are places that have a nucleus of activity, but you almost have to stumble on it in order to figure it out if you're not from Richmond.
Mm-hmm.
And what I think is there's a real lack of marketing for that area, and I'm more than happy to spend whatever we need to in order to get an annual ongoing marketing campaign that just doesn't talk about the 3 weeks of festivals that we have in the area, but actually focuses on what Roger Richards' method is, which is I'm going to shout at you, I'm going to try to tell you you're going to save some money, and I'm going to try to sell you on the spirit of this area. But he shouldn't have to foot the bill on his own.
Right.
So we need that. Now, I'll give you my really unfavorable opinion. You've got to completely scrap what we've got going on downtown, in my opinion. We have created sort of a bypass around that area.
Mm-hmm.
When the explosion happened and there was the intent to close it off, I don't think people realized that parking in front of a building still is important. I hear all the time that, you can park on a side street and walk less than you could if you were parked in front of a Walmart and had to park all the way in the back. That's true, but you can still see the building in front of you. For whatever reason, we have to understand that people want to see and want to park where they can see and have access. So I was in favor of putting some anchors sort of around the bypass,
mm-hmm.
you know, North A and South A. What do we need to do to develop those properties on those corners to get people traveling through to go, hey, what is this? There's this bright, vibrant, what is, the street's blocked off. What is going on?
Mm-hmm.
And then what I would do is I would open up the downtown area. You can't move the buildings, but I would do like what's been done in Holland, Michigan, which has a very, very successful downtown, or if it's a little closer to home, Greenville, Ohio. I want to take out the two-way nature of Main Street, take out the little squiggly and the little bumps, make it one way. You guys pick which direction you think is the most appropriate. I think it's east going west. So make that one way, cut those curbs back, and line each block with parking, angle parking.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get an additional 84 spots there. So you do that, and then we bend over backwards from a city planning and engineering standpoint, do whatever we need to do to pass inspection to create livable suites on second floors of buildings in downtown. Create the studio apartments or the flats that are so popular these days, and you help the business owners or the building owners to make that happen. Does that take some major cash? It does. Is that why it's unpopular? Yes. And I think that there, in my mind, there are some structures downtown that maybe need to be eliminated. I don't think people use the parking garage. It costs us $40,000 a year. Eliminate it. I don't know that people want a parking garage to park in. We have all the ancillary parking. Maybe there's another way. So that's just sort of what I think about downtown. Like I said, there's a lot of money at stake there. There would need to be a lot invested. I think it's doable, and I think if you just market some of our successful stores downtown in a better way, that may be the short-term answer.
Yeah. Well, the next question kind of leads into this. I think they're very closely tied, which is why we were asking it. It was mm-hmm. sort of inspired by Chris Hardy, who's also running for council, who put something on his page talking about community self-esteem.
I think Chris Hardy really has the essence of one of the issues that people that either aren't here, that live here now, see the beauty of this place, or maybe maybe he's representing or talking about the people that do move here, or move back here from places elsewhere. I'm a firm believer in sowing oats. I'm a firm believer in that it's okay to tell an 18-year-old, I know, you're going to go out, and you're going to go see the world, you're going to move to a big city, and you may enjoy that life. Mm-hmm. At some point, there's that process that I think many of us go through where you get married and you start a family, and you go, you know, I want something quiet. So one of our roles on city council is, how do we make that inviting so that either they want to come and start a business here, take over a business, work for an employer that makes a good salary? We need to make sure that we're helping businesses accomplish that. But United Way, maybe 2 years ago, did a real big, large communications audit, and they were asking the public how they found out about information. And the number one answer, to no one's surprise, was word of mouth. And I think they get that from headlines on the top of the fold of the newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm gonna maybe take a shot at the palladium item, but it's unintended because they fixed it. One of the real crushing things about the palladium item's website in the past was the comment section and how negative that got. I spoke with Jim Walton, who was hired. He's a marketing expert, and he was hired by the EDC a few years ago to come up with a marketing campaign. And so he did all of these interviews with people from the community, and he came up with a term that I like a lot, and it's a cave mentality. And I don't think he coined the phrase necessarily, but it's citizens against virtually everything. and he said that, I mean, if we were to take the group of people that are concerned about a self-esteem issue and we were to go and sit in the middle of Newcastle and talk to people, they would be so envious of Richmond, Indiana. I have some clients that I work with in Connersville. They're all the time talking about how great Richmond is and there's stuff going on and that they always go to Richmond to go eat and go. And so I think we sort of have to remove people from their comfort level and get out to someplace here and then look at Richmond the way others do. So that's mm-hmm. going to be hard to battle. I think the biggest issue is people will say, hey, I think you've got a great idea here. How much is it going to cost? Well, I don't know how much it's going to cost. If we have more buy-in, maybe it doesn't cost as much. If we can use some persuasion in order to politic and go after state and federal dollars that seem to be available for a bunch of other projects, maybe it doesn't cost as much. So I agree with you. I still think the way that government communicates with the citizenry is always in a reactive mode. We're always sort of doing something and then getting someone's reaction, or we're proposing something that gets someone's reaction. And a lot of times, especially in the private sector, you know, if a business wants to change something, generally they're talking about it within itself before they make it public. And in this case, I think city government can do a better job of trying to communicate, because if it's word of mouth, then that's not. And if you're making the citizenry having to go and do something, they're less likely to get involved. Mm-hmm. So the argument has to be taken to them. And I think subtle changes make people happy. I would like to see the front lines people that welcome visitors in, whether you're hotel or restaurant people, I would like to see them or see their employers embrace some sort of knowledge about the community. Mm-hmm. If you go to the east side of town, a lot of those district managers for those restaurants out there, they're from Ohio.
Yeah.
They don't know what's going on in Richmond. And I think that the front line will help. Plus, I think the Palladium has done an amazing job. They've reinvented their website. You now have to click if you want to see the comments as opposed to them automatically popping up. They have done extraordinarily, they've taken long, long inroads to fixing that negativity that you would see on any story. Mm-hmm. Now we have to figure out how we can sell the community in ways that don't counteract the journalism integrity of crime and those things that happen. You know, we don't want to hide those, but we need a counterbalance. And again, I'm gonna go back to an old trusted source. I think that's a marketing effort, Jack. Yeah. I think websites like GoWayneCounty.com and others that are constantly trying to promote the positive, We have to continue to sort of virally let people know about those places where they can go and find positive things to do, and that is a struggle. We're going to continue to struggle with that until there's just a larger contingent of people that feel happy to be here, and I think that's going to take a long time, but it's a goal that should be achieved.
What else would you like to add to help people know more about you? I mean, if they haven't been following all your exploits in, on city council in the last 3 years, what would you like people to know about you and your goals, get to know you a little better?
I want to be a better listener. I'm sure people listening to this podcast, he talks a lot and he talks fast. So I want to continue to work to be a better listener. I try to respond to any email or phone call or Facebook post or just people stopping me on the street. In our office here, I have people that walk in and just sit down and want to talk politics for a while. So I want to make sure people know I'm approachable, I'm reachable. Give me your opinion. I represent the entire city, and I can't do that if it's only myself that I'm listening to. So I think that's probably the most important thing. Mm-hmm. The website I have is philquinforcouncil.com.
Well, Phil, thanks so much for taking the time to talk to us. I'm sure the listeners are going to really appreciate getting these answers and these insights from you. And
right.
Good luck on Election Day, and we'll be talking to you in the community.
Thank you, and continued success for you guys.